Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. Gabe here. Connor, Dylan is out this week, so you'll have to continue to persevere. You poor souls. We are in a new phase of the pandemic. These are the words of Andreas Bergtaler, one of Europe's preeminent scientists, when it comes to the question of how viruses make us sick. We're going to talk today about the new mutations of SARS-CoV-2 that will most likely cause COVID-19 to spread faster. Now, there is a lot of information circulating online with regard to these genetic variants of the original coronavirus. For the latest from somebody who actually knows what he is talking about, let's head to Vienna.
Science Unscripted.
My name is Andreas Bergtaler, and I'm a principal investigator at the SEM Research Center for Molecular Medicine of the Austrian Academy of Sciences in Vienna. Back in February, March last year, we basically considered and discussed how to adapt our research line towards this new challenge of the pandemic virus. And this is how we got into SARS-CoV-2 genome research.
Okay, Professor Bergtaler, what do I need to know about these new variants? What is someone who doesn't even know what mutation really means? What do I need to know about these variants?
I think what's important to just acknowledge that the virus, even though you might not call it alive because it requires its host and its host cell, but it has its own life. And so it's not something fixed, but it keeps changing continuously. It's kind of watching evolution taking place at a fast-forwarded pace. And we've now come into a phase of the pandemic where the virus seems to have increased its infectivity. And this, you might say, is not that important because it does not affect the course of the disease, which is true. However, an increased infectivity is growing exponentially. And as long as we cannot properly protect the vulnerable people and those that develop severe course of disease or even die from them, any increase in infection numbers will inevitably also lead to more damage to our healthcare system, more damage to individuals, more death. And this is why these new variants are actually important and should be a wake-up call for us to take all these well-known protective measures really serious.
So we can say now with 100% certainty that the coronavirus is more infectious, that it spreads faster, that for somebody who gets the coronavirus right now, the odds that they will spread it to other people faster, we can say that.
By the data that have been provided by colleagues from the UK, yes, I think it's fair to say that. And we're talking about an increase of around 50%, which maybe you think is not that much. But if, say, on average, one person would infect another person, now it's one person infecting 1.5 persons. And this is with the average infection interval of maybe 5 to 6 days. And if you then think this through for a couple of weeks and months, this is actually a huge surplus of additional infection cases, which we wouldn't have with a conventional SARS-CoV-2.
That's really where you come in. I mean, your principal line of work is figuring out how a virus causes disease. What do we know at this point in terms of how these variants are changing COVID-19? Are we getting more sick because of them?
I think by all accounts and all the data that is available so far, this does not seem to be the case, which is in a way good news that for the average person, if you get infected by this variant, it should not affect your chances of undergoing an asymptomatic infection or developing mild or even severe symptoms. This seems to be this kind of interchangeably and the same compared to the usual SARS-CoV-2, the original one. However, I think it's also a good example that answering these questions is actually very tricky, because it's simple to sequence the virus, relatively simple to catalog those mutations, and then you know which new mutations have emerged, how they differ, what do they share between different variants. But it's damn difficult to understand what a given single mutation does. And usually you would do this by studying this mutation in isolation in the lab, in cell culture, where you have a petri dish growing with cells and you dump your virus on it and you see how it propagates, or you use some animal models, or you use clinical data, right? And in this case now, where you almost watch this in real time, the only data available at first is epidemiological data. So you can see how is the virus spreading in the population. And there are many additional factors that could affect this spread. This is why initially I think scientists were very cautious because it wasn't clear whether it's really the mutations that are driving this pattern or whether it could be some, say, coincidences like a genetic drift or founder effect, where just by chance, because a given virus is present in a super spreading event, this virus would get an advantage of getting spread. And I think this is something where on the science side, it will take you a long time to prove each and every mutation. And think about 17 mutations at the same time, which makes the problem a lot harder, actually. And yet, you are supposed to provide information about a dynamic scenario right in front of you, which might affect real-life decisions. And I think this is something which is a challenge, a conundrum that is very difficult to come by. And the only thing is, I guess, to really strengthen research as much as possible to get these answers faster. But they would still not be around the corner just in real time. It takes some time to get this information.
I think it leads me to my final question, Andreas. The vaccines that are out, will they cover these new variants? I mean, that is an absolutely critical question. I know it probably takes a lot to answer that question with 100% certainty, but based on what we know, will they cover it?
Again, I think by all evidence that we have so far, and the evidence is incomplete, but by all evidence that we have, there is a very high likelihood that these current vaccines do cover these variants. And I'd like to add two caveats to that. That is, first of all, this will not be the only variants that we encounter. So I think this is just, I think we really should see it as a wake-up call that the virus can do its own thing and we need to be prepared for the unpredictable. And on the other hand, I think it's also, that's the case also for other viruses and vaccines, right? Think about seasonal flu, that these vaccines might have to be adapted and modified eventually. And with this comes also other questions, like for how long do you have immune protection of these vaccines, which we don't really know yet. So I think for these current variants, I think there are no doubts that are founded scientifically so far that they would not cover and work. But my personal guess is that we will encounter more variants and we again will have to undergo the same procedure, checking whether these variants can be covered or not by the vaccines. And if not, we will have to adapt the vaccines. And I think in the case of RNA vaccines, that is relatively straightforward. Will probably still take weeks and maybe months, but it's probably a lot faster than some of the other conventional vaccines.
That was Andreas Bergtaler of the Austrian Academy of Sciences, speaking to us from his home in Vienna. If you have any questions or anything you'd like us to look at, please get in touch. SU@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.